There's only one.
There's only one pod in the Motor City that's keeping you up to date on everything Detroit sports.
This is the Daily Ticket
with your host, Jeff Rieger.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Jeff Rieger, another episode of The Daily Ticket, the 29th, April. It's a Monday. It's 2024, and excuse my voice. I lost it over the weekend. I think a lot of people lost their voices over the weekend. If you went to the NFL draft, odds are you came home and your voice is not the same as when you went there. I mean, there was a lot of screaming. There was a lot of excitement. And I just want to congratulate Detroit and you, because you know what we did? We obliterated the draft. We dominated the draft. We killed the draft. Detroit did an amazing job. And we're going to get into how Detroit, the team, actually did with the draft picks. Because believe it or not, there's some controversy that we got to talk about. But we got to spend a moment or two on the wonderful job Detroit did. So I saw these attendance records. And I just want to say, fuck yeah, Detroit. Hell of a job. So the last podcast was on Friday. And I interviewed a bunch of ticket personalities and, of course, people at our draft party. And I was asking people what the Lions were going to do at 29. And I think a lot of you watched the podcast, listened to the podcast, and it seemed like you enjoyed it. So I do appreciate that. But on Thursday, they had to shut the stage area down. They couldn't allow any more people in because they reached the maximum of 275,000 people. And then on Friday, they did it again. 2 days in a row, that's never been done in the NFL draft since it started traveling in 2015. And then on Saturday, there was a great crowd as well. Now, they didn't shut down the staging area, but Gretchen Whitmer, Big Gretch, they call her, she stepped to the podium saying Detroit set a new attendance record for the NFL draft. I think it just goes to show that we love football. This is a football town. This is a Lions town. And what an absolute run of fun it's been for this team. After years and years of torment and torture, you went to the NFC title game. You finally got a front office that is so impressive, maybe the best in football. And furthermore, you get the draft and you destroy it. You fucking mutilate it. And it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But I want to give you these attendance records, okay? So I saw this blows me away. When they decided to move the draft out of Radio City Music Hall in New York, and I found out the story behind that. Apparently, they booked it for something else. They told the NFL, yeah, you got to wait till June. The NFL's like, yeah, go stick it. We're going to travel, which is a great idea. The first 2 years, they were in Chicago. Year one in 2015, they got 200,000 fans. Not bad. Detroit got more than that in one night. Year two in Chicago, they got 225,000 fans. Not bad. Detroit got more than that in one night. Year three, the city of brotherly love in Philly. Philly got 250,000 fans. Not bad. Detroit got more than that in one night. 2018, they went to Dallas. 200,000 fans. Absolutely pathetic. Cowboy land, you should be ashamed of yourself. 2019 was the best draft up until this weekend. Nashville, the Music City, got 600,000 people at their draft. That's a pretty big number. And then COVID hit. 2020 and 2021, there was no draft. It was all virtual. Then the draft came back in Sin City in 2022. 300,000 fans for the weekend. Pretty good. Detroit almost got as much of that in one night. Then it was in Kansas City last year. 312,000 fans. Not bad. And then Detroit, this weekend, 775,000 fans. 750,000 people downtown Detroit. Not one single incident. Everybody enjoyed themselves. We got rave reviews. Detroit was a star this weekend. Think about that. 775,000. The previous high was 600,000. Everybody else in the 200s. Like, it's not even a question anymore of if we can do the draft. It should be a question of when we're going to get our next draft. We deserve it. And by the way, the mayor, Mike Duggan, he was talking to our sister station, WWJ. Now the NBA is interested and finally having an All-Star game in Detroit. Has that ever happened? Like, I've always wondered, why haven't we had an All-Star game here? But apparently that might now happen as well. Great job, Detroit. I mean, just a fucking great job. Absolutely great job. I can't say enough. I don't think anybody can say enough. We were ready for it, and we killed it. We slayed it. We obliterated it. Amazing. And I think Brad Holmes did the same with his draft. I want to go down the draft picks for the Lions. And I want to tell you the narratives. I want to tell you the storylines. Because it is funny. As good as Holmes is, as great of a job as he's done, there are still a lot of people that don't like what he did in this previous draft. Like, I don't know how many people are arguing with the first pick, Tyrion Arnold. Lions traded up to get him. He was their corner. Before the draft started, there wasn't one Lions pundit or media member or really anybody that thought the Lions were going to get Tyrion Arnold. Not because they didn't want him, but because he wasn't going to fall that far to 29. Now, the Lions traded up to get him, but he wasn't going to fall to 25, 24, 26. No way. One of the best corners in the draft. But as you know, there was a run of offensive players to start the draft, 15 straight. All the quarterbacks went as well. So in a quarterback-rich, heavy draft, the Lions were able to get what they deemed as their best quarterback. And as you knew, cornerback was without a doubt the Lions' biggest need. Say hello to my daughter, Olive. She can't help but to be in the podcast. Hey. How do you think Detroit did in the draft?
I don't know.
What are you excited about?
Nothing.
At all? After this podcast, we're going to go swimming. Are you excited for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you leave me alone now so I can finish this?
Maybe.
Okay. Seriously.
Bye.
Get out of here. So where was I? So I think a lot of people were totally fine with the pick for Tyrion Arnold. Let's be honest, Detroit needed cornerback help. I don't think there's any question about it. Even though Brad Holmes and other Lions fans might have denied it, the cornerbacks were a huge issue last season. It was a massive weakness for the Lions. So they went out with their first pick. They traded up. They got their corner. As we know, corners, you just never know what you're getting. Cornerbacks notoriously take a long time to develop. So the fact that Holmes was able to trade up to get his corner, the one he identified, I love it. Another Alabama player. And I think the majority of Lions fans enjoyed the Arnold pick. And then what he did at the draft as well, talking to all those fans, the place went bonkers. I mean, it was a great moment all around. Fantastic. So I think we all agreed with Tyrion Arnold. Then the next day happened, Friday, and I was on the air. And the Lions had a second round pick, pick 61. And they went with another corner, Ennis Rakestraw Jr. from Missouri. And this is where a little bit of the controversy started for Lions fans that didn't like the draft. Because how could Brad Holmes go back-to-back corners? How could he go back-to-back corners? You have so many other needs on this team. You actually don't. Corner was your biggest need. Addressing the secondary was your biggest need. And I thought Holmes did a nice job. And if you believe the pundits, if you believe the pre-draft talk, the Lions got two of the top six corners in the draft. In a very deep cornerback draft. People called this the best corner draft in quite some time. And the Lions got two of the top six. Pretty good, right? I think you add that to the fact that before the draft happened, your starting corners were Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson. Not good enough, at least in my mind. Now, your corner room, Carlton Davis, Amik Robertson, Tyrion Arnold, Ennis Rakestraw, Emmanuel Mosley, Khalil Dorsey, Kendall Vildor. So a lot of guys that were expected to maybe play more in the depth chart structure are now getting pushed back because you added so much talent there. Will these guys work out? I have no idea. Corners are a tough spot to draft. We've already talked about this. But I like the Ennis Rakestraw Jr. draft simply because you identified your weakness and you fixed it. And my God, I mean, the NFC North is deep with great receivers. I think Brad Holmes and Oss were so annoyed by how the Lions played down the stretch of the season, despite getting to the NFC title game. But the lack of corners might have been the reason you didn't go to the Super Bowl. Justin Jefferson torched you twice. CeeDee Lamb torched you. Puka Nacua, Deebo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk. Mike Evans. I mean, it was every game. Detroit just getting torched through the air. So I think Brad Holmes understood he needed to do something about it. The other thing, too, have you taken just a quick sec to look at the receivers in the NFC North? The Packers have Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Jaden Reed. That's pretty good. You better have some pretty good corners and a good secondary. The Vikings have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. J.J. McCarthy's now going to be throwing to them. And the Bears got better, too. D.J. Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze for Caleb Williams. You can make the case the NFC North has the receivers in football, and the Lions got to go against them. So I loved back-to-back quarters. I had no issue. Some people did. So that was Friday. Then Saturday started, and Brad Holmes did not have a pick in the first 63 picks of Saturday. And he went to Dan Campbell, as the story goes, because he told the media this. He said, I went to bed understanding I'm probably not going to pick all that much on Saturday. Then he woke up, he talked to Dan Campbell, and he had two guys in mind. And he said, I really love these guys. I can't stop thinking about them. Should we go up and get them? And Dan Campbell said, interesting. I'm thinking about the same two guys. So Brad Holmes said, let's do it. Let's move up. I don't care what the cost is. The cost was pretty expensive. Because in the fourth round, even more controversy, Detroit moved up. They spent a third-round pick for next year, and they picked up offensive tackle Giovanni Manu. Now, this guy from British Columbia in Canada was not on anybody's draft board. Like, nobody's draft board. ESPN did not even have a draft profile for him until he got drafted, and they had to quickly make one up, but they never even put his picture. It's like a gray silhouette. Nobody thought, media-wise, that this guy was going to get drafted. There was a couple articles about him, but that was about it. He didn't go to the combine, but you know what happened? 11 teams met with him, and he's pretty damn impressive. Okay, I don't know if he's going to work out. Nobody knows if he's going to work out, but he's 6'8". He's 350 pounds. He's got a good vertical. He's got a sub-5-second 40 time, 107-inch vertical leap, a 40 time that would be in the 90th percentile for tackles if he did go to the combine. And fans were furious. Some were, simply because they thought this guy that nobody heard of was going to be available later on in the draft. And how dare you trade a third-round pick next year for him? Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say he works out. Let's say Giovanni Manu comes into this team and spends all year working with Hank Fraley, the O-line coach, figuring out how to play at the next level. And let's just say when 2025 rolls around, he's your starting right tackle. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but let's just say that happens, okay? Is that worth a third-round pick? I'd say, yeah. Oh, and by the way, Taylor Decker probably won't be here next year. This probably is his last year. He's a 9-year vet. He's in the last year of his deal. You know Penei Sewell's going to move over to left tackle. So maybe Manu's going to be your right tackle. 6'8", 350 pounds. How do you not take a chance on that? And for all the people say, oh, well, you know, he would have been here later in the draft. You don't know that. That's the one thing you don't know. You can criticize the pick because you don't like the player. You can criticize the pick because you don't like the position he plays. You can criticize the pick for a litany of reasons. I don't think it's fair to criticize the pick simply by saying, well, he definitely would have been around later in the draft, so you spent too much to go up and get him now. You don't know that. All it would have taken was one team. 11 other teams were interested in him. He met with 11 other teams. So how do you know that one team wasn't waiting to pounce just like the Lions did? Here's the other thing, and you got to get this through your head, and I got to get it through my head too. The Mel Kuypers, the pundits, the ESPNs, the CBSs, they don't know everything. They put together mock drafts, and we eat that shit up. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. Just because Kuiper doesn't have a guy in his top 6-7 rounds doesn't mean that other teams aren't looking for that guy. The teams know. The pundits don't. So I have no problem at all trading up for Manu, simply because it's a position of need, too. This is a deep football team. Not everybody you draft is even going to make the team. So it's a good idea to start preparing for the future because you're pretty good for the now in the present, right? So I had no problem with the pick at all. No problem. But then we had more controversy because about 5-6 picks later, Brad Holmes did it again. He already traded up a future third-round pick for next year from Manu. Then he gave up a fourth-round pick for next year, along with a fifth and a sixth to get back in the fourth round. And he picked up Sione Vaiki from Utah. He's a safety and a running back. And everybody freaked out, like, this safety? What? Pre-draft rankings, he's not even in the top 35. Like, what are you doing? But then you realize that he also plays running back. And more than likely, he's going to play special teams in Detroit. And when he met with the Lions at his pre-draft meeting, interestingly enough, he met with their offensive staff, not their defensive staff so much. Then Brad Holmes said, listen, we know he can play safety, but he's going to be in the mix for running back reps with Craig Reynolds, third-string running back, and he's going to play special teams. And again, when you have a deep, good team, you start filling the needs that you weren't thinking about earlier when you were building that deep, good team. And special teams is one of those needs. So I didn't have a problem with that either. Again, people, oh, Sione Vaiki was going to be available later on. Maybe. You might be right. You can't prove you were right. And I'm going to trust Brad Holmes. I think it's great to have opinions. I think it's great to criticize. That's what sports radio is built on. That's what I've done my whole career, if you can call this a career. But the one thing I don't criticize, the one thing I don't speak on is I know for a fact the guy's going to be there later, so you paid way too much to go up and get him now. You don't know that. I keep going back to, remember Bob Quinn when he drafted Jelani Tavai? And everybody's like, well, why'd you do that? He's like, I know for a fact the Patriots were going to take him, and we wanted him instead. Now, Bob Quinn was a garbage GM, so it is what it is, and I might have made fun at that. But Brad Holmes is a great GM, and he understood when these guys were going to be available. And if he wanted them, and he woke up on Saturday wanting them, he said, he went out and got them. No issue. No issue at all. And this isn't me saying, look at all that Brad has done for you. How dare you don't trust him? How dare you criticize that? No, I'm not saying that. Do whatever you want. Criticize all you want. But I'm just not going to criticize the, he would have been there later. You don't know that. Nobody knows that. Because at the end of the day, all the stuff that we're fed pre-draft, as smart as we think we are, the people putting those mock drafts together, and everybody's got a mock draft, they don't know half of the stuff, three quarters of the stuff that the people in the actual teams know. So when they say, oh, this guy's going to go in the fourth round, maybe he goes in the second round. Happens all the time. Anyway, 2 6-round picks for the Lions as well on Saturday. They got Mekhi Wingo from LSU. He can play defensive tackle. He can play a little bit of edge as well. And now the Lions are pretty deep up front, too. I know everybody wanted the Lions to go out and get an edge, like a really good edge to complement Aiden Hutchinson on the other side. But just like the corner situation, now look at the Lions' front four, okay? They got a whole lot of options. Marcus Davenport and Aiden Hutchinson are going to be on the ends. I worry about Davenport because he gets injured a lot, but what are you going to do? Aleem McNeil and DJ Reader are going to be up the middle. Again, Reader gets injured a lot too, but if those guys stay healthy, you're not going to run on them. And I got to believe those four guys will get to the quarterback too. And then the backups, the depth, John Kaminsky, Tyson Alulu, Levi Onwuzurike, is this the year he pops? Josh Pascal, James Houston coming back from injury, Broderick Martin, who was drafted last year late in the draft. So Brad Holmes understood that I got myself a deep, really good team. So now let's go get even more depth for the most part. I love what he did in the draft. I love the draft. I have no issue. He filled needs that he needed to fill, and he continued to put hopefully talented players on this roster so that when you start losing guys, because eventually you're going to lose even more guys because you can't afford to pay them, hopefully some of this depth is going to be able to step in and play. By the way, the other sixth-round pick was Christian Mahogany, 6'3", 314-pound offensive lineman, tore his ACL. See if he makes an impact. So that was the draft. I think they did a good job. And I think Detroit did an amazing job. And here's something else I wanted to give you, too. Because if you're sitting here wondering if Jeff Reagor, me, has turned into a shill, maybe you think I've turned into a homer, right? I used to be so negative and critical. I used to be this troll living under my bridge, right? But now I'm being so positive about the Lions and Brad Holmes. What's happening? I'm not the only one being positive. I was looking at these rankings from Warren Sharp. He's a big analytical guy, very well respected in the NFL community. So he put out his best value list of the 2024 draft. And guess who was number one? The Detroit Lions. So if you don't believe me, maybe you believe him. He's got a lot more followers on Twitter, and he's got a lot more smarts in his head than I do. So it was a great weekend. I can't say enough how impressed I was. I do have one more thing I wanted to run your way too, because I think the Lions were pretty fun this weekend. They all wore suits on Thursday night in their war room, but on Friday, they wore these hoodies that said positional villains. Kind of making fun of the whole positional value thing. I thought that was pretty funny. And then on Saturday, all the war room members that were there, the Rod Woods, the Brad Holmes, the Sheila Ford Hamps, the Dan Campbells, they all wore Dan Campbell black new unis. They wore the number 89, what Campbell wore when he played in Detroit. And all of them wore Dan Campbell, the new black uniforms. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was really kind of funny. I mean, when Campbell played here, he wore the black uniforms, and he's the reason that the black is back in Detroit. Here, it looked like this, in case you're watching on YouTube. There you go. I'm sure you've seen it. So we knew what it was. They said Campbell on the back. I thought it was a really cool honor to the head coach that did a really nice job last year. But this tweet was sent out by 49ers and NFL News 24/7. And they said the following: wow, the Detroit Lions taunting the San Francisco 49ers in their war room. The entire Detroit Lions war room is wearing tight ends Brock Wright's jersey. And 49ers tried to sign Wright to a 3-year, $12 million deal away from Detroit, and the Lions matched it. Just wow. Hashtag NFL draft. San Francisco, get a clue. Come on. Get a clue, guys. It's not Brock Wright's jersey. It's Dan Campbell's jersey. Now, the other thing is, when I saw the 89, immediately I thought Brock Wright too. And then somebody explained to me, no, that's Dan Campbell. So I guess San Francisco wasn't the only one fooled, but I guess I didn't have to admit that I was fooled too. Anyway, it was a great weekend. Detroit slayed the draft. And I thought Brad Holmes did a really nice job with his staff on the draft picks. We ran them down. Let me know what you think. Hit me up in the comment section. This podcast has went on for way too long, so I probably don't have time for comments. I'll get to all the comments tomorrow, but I do want to thank you for watching Friday's podcast, for listening to Friday's podcast. That was really fun, and it got a lot of great reaction, and it seemed like you guys enjoyed it. So thank you for that. I walked around the Buffalo Wild Wings in downtown Detroit asking people what the Lions do at 29. Nobody really got it right. There was one promotions guy, our guy Jake, that said it could be Terrion Arnold. I went up to him on Friday. I'm like, dude, nice job. He was the only one. So what'd you think of the draft downtown? I thought we did a magnificent job. And furthermore, what'd you think of the job that the Lions did with their latest class of draft picks? Let me know in the comment section. In the meantime, go enjoy your Monday. Try to recover from what was a wild weekend. And we'll catch you tomorrow on a Tuesday. See you, everybody.